I taught a couple weeks ago on joy and the fruit of the Spirit, and how joy was one of the fruit of the Spirit, and how it is, it's really, I mean, when people walk by the Spirit, joy is always around. It's evidenced. And we looked at some records about that, and I want to do some more of that today. If you take your Bibles and go to Galatians, we'll look at that record about the fruit of the Spirit. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians is an interesting book. And I was reading in the book of Acts. We're going to go to the book of Acts, too, and look at some of that. But Galatians it's correction. It's talking about, I mean, people who had turned away from the grace of God and wanted the law back in their life, and they had people bothering them that were telling them unless they were circumcised, that they weren't going to be saved. If they didn't follow the law, they weren't going to be saved. And Galatians corrects that, because that is bad doctrine. God's word says we are righteous by believing, and that we are saved by believing, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. Thou shalt be saved. And then after that, you don't need to hear the people that come in and say, yeah, but. But they're coming, and they're still coming. They're filling up pews and right now as we speak, so that they can tell them, yeah, but. Yeah, but you have to do this. Yeah, but you have to do that. Yeah, but you oughta. There's no yeah buts. If there were yeah buts, we wouldn't have a complete Savior. We wouldn't have what we do have, which is the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God making intercession for us, and going to come back for us one day as well. So in Galatians, we look at part of that correctional epistle is the difference between walking by the flesh and walking by the Spirit. And it enumerates all of the wonderful fruit of walking by the flesh, which we shall skip.
Oh, good.
And we will go to verse 22, where it talks about the fruit of walking by the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is what?
No law.
There's no law against it. So how about that? If there's no law, then there's no law, right?
Right.
Okay. We sang songs about these things today. Mm-hmm. We said we had peace like a river, joy like a fountain, and love for my Savior.
Right.
That's three of the fruit of the Spirit right there. And you've got them. They're in evidence in your life. Because you walk by the Spirit. God put his Spirit in you. And it is just part of having that Spirit in you is you will manifest fruit as you walk by that Spirit. And these fruit are good. They are good fruit. Look in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. We'll talk some more about peace and joy. John 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into what? Joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is to come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born in the world. When that mom is done with laboring and she has a baby, she doesn't sit around thinking about all the labor that it took her and how horrible it was and this and that and, oh, I was in such pain. Oh, well, you hear that later when you're in your teens from your mom. Right there at that moment, that mom is so excited that, let me see the baby. Boy. But let me see the baby. I want to see the baby, right? For joy that a man, it's joy, it brings joy. It's, oh my gosh, the baby. Oh, look at that beautiful baby. Redder than a beet, right? Verse 22 says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your what? That your joy may be full. When you ask God for something, and when you pray to God for something, and you see it come to pass, you receive it, it brings you great joy. I try to see that, like, all the time. I prayed for this, and I got it. And it just gives you great joy. You can start bragging on your father. It says in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go unto the Father. His disciples say unto him, lo, now thou speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Oh, now we get it. Verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might be disappointed in yourselves. Well, no. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. That's not why Jesus Christ came, to heap some more on you. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's a great record, isn't it? Look at Acts chapter 8. There's another record about when the Word of God comes in and people believe it and receive Holy Spirit, there's joy involved. and the fruit of the Spirit usually is following in the situation, if you read through the Word. Doesn't ever say everybody believed the Word and got their prayers answered and then everybody was so sad. You know? Bummed everybody out. Oh, God, I got another prayer answered. No, it's wonderful when that stuff happens. Look in Acts chapter 8. There's a great record of when Philip went out. It says in verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which is at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Well, how is anything going to happen if the apostles aren't there? Right? But, well, don't you have to have the apostles to move God's word? Don't you have to have the apostles to minister to people and to... Yeah, well, it says the apostles didn't go, right? And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what?
Preaching the word.
Preaching the word. Well, gee, they went on the lamb, but they went on the lamb with their Bibles in their hand. You know? We better get out of town. What are we going to do when we get to where we're going? Well, we're going to preach the word. There's people there, too, that want to hear it. Then Philip, verse 5, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Wait a minute. I thought only the apostles could do that. Oh, that's right. We read they weren't there, right?
Right.
Okay. He was doing miracles, and he was preaching, and people were believing it. They were giving heed to him. Verse 7, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. There was healings, there was devil spirits being cast out of people. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy, not just a little bit of joy. There was great joy in that city. This great deliverance brings great joy. A great move of God's word and of the spirit of God in a man or a woman brings great joy. There was great joy in that city. Verse 9, but there was a certain man named Simon, called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. And that didn't bring them great joy, did it? No. Brought them brought along all those devil spirits that were getting cast out, is what it did. Was a certain man named called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Was the great power of God being evidenced by this man?
No.
Was he the one that was casting out devil spirits out of people?
No.
Was he the one that was healing the people who had the palsies?
No.
He was not the great power of God. He was dealing in sorceries, and he was bewitching the people. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as of yet, it had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you got an apostle showed up. Said, wait a second here. We're not going to baptize people anymore in the gospel of, like John did. Okay, people need to be baptized in Holy Spirit. People need to receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Peter went down and the apostles that were with him, Peter and John, went down, who, when they were come, verse 15 says, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet it had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And old Simon, he said, wait a minute, how can I make a buck out of this? This is pretty good. This is good stuff you got here. I can make a lot of money with this. Maybe I'll... No. Peter, shut him down. You know the rest of the record there. Let's go to another one. Look at chapter 12 of the book of Acts. There was great joy in that city, and people received the word. They got great deliverance. They got healed. Devil spirits were on the run. And because Philip was ministering the word of God, he says he preached the word of God, and he preached the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Another record here. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Because he's a nice guy, wasn't he? No. Verse 2. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That's just, you know, one little verse. But when I read that, I go, wow. I mean, Peter, James, and John were with the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere he went. Even when the rest of the 12 were left behind, they went with him. And so this is like not just some believer. This is one of the three that Jesus Christ spent most of his time explaining and working with. Mm-hmm. And this Herod has him killed. How horrible would that be? So there's no joy in that. So, you know, you want to read back in Galatians, it'll show you that that's one of the works of the flesh.
Right.
Murders. But there's joy in this story, so hang in here with me.
Okay.
But that's a bad way to start it, isn't it? James, the brother of John, they killed him with a sword. Whew. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. Okay, excuse me, people.
It's okay.
That's a hard word.
It is hard.
He delivered him to a bunch of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for him. What do you think they were praying for? That Peter would get out of there, right? That Peter would be okay, that Peter would be able to minister again, that Peter would get out of that prison. Verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So he's not going anywhere as far as they're concerned. They did everything they could to keep him there. But there were people out there praying. And there was also the ideas God had about this situation. And behold, verse 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Hey, wake up! And raised him up, saying, arise, up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, because that chain, that's when they handcuff you, you know, they usually just fall off after a while, right?
Right.
No, these are all supernatural things. This is the power of God working here. The chains fell off of him. Does that happen?
Only if God says it.
There you go. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself. get dressed, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. For, but he thought he saw a vision. This, am I dreaming? Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the unto the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Gates just open? This is not, they didn't have a garage door opener. I mean, it was, this is, something had to open that door. What's going on here? Power of God. Power of God. Don't discount it. Opened up unto it of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, doing what?
Praying.
What do you think they were praying about? For a nice day tomorrow, that the sun won't rain, the sun won't, you know, the sun will come out and it won't rain and blah, blah, blah. No, they were praying for Peter, right? We read that earlier. So they're praying for him. The prayer got answered. They don't know it yet. And it says he's... It's, there were many gathered together praying, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She runs back in. You guys, guess what? Our prayers got answered, and Peter's here, really. He's here. In the meantime, it says, they said unto her, you're mad, you're crazy, he's in jail. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. Oh, you're just seeing an angel. You're seeing, you got yourself all worked up. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. Hey, hey guys. Hey, hey, hey. Remember me? Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, finally, and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? I would think so. Because Herod's going to be ticked, right? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased. Oh, that's another record after that. But Peter was delivered miraculously, supernaturally by this angel who just walked him out of there. And he went to the believers that were still praying. And the answer to the prayer was knocking on the door. And they opened up the door and they were... Oh, I mean, that would just make you so blessed, wouldn't it? I've been praying, and now there's the answer. That's bring you some joy, wouldn't it? It's wonderful. It says they were gladness. Just wonderful. Let's look at another one. Chapter 12, we just read. Chapter 16. verse 11. With God, all things are possible. Sometimes situations don't look great. You pray, you believe, and then when you get your results, it's a time to rejoice. It's a time to be very, very glad and celebrate. Chapter 16, verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Which is a good thing to do. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Which sounds pretty good, but that's probably not the way she said it. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out, and he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, she could do soothsaying, and her masters were making money on it. Her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Really, what they were troubling was these guys' bank account. As long as they were making money, they weren't worried about Paul and Silas, were they? Verse 21, and they're teaching customs which aren't lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Oh, now they're all nationalized. Now they're all patriotic. I'm a patriotic Roman. These guys are talking bad about Rome. And the multitude rose up, verse 22, together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Ooh, another jail story. Verse 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Didn't we just read about something like this?
Yes, we did.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Here they are. They just got beat up, many stripes laid upon them, thrown in the inner prison, put in shackles on their feet. Their feet are in the stocks. And they start singing praises to God. This is the fruit of the Spirit and evidence in their life even. I mean, that they had the joy and the... It's crazy. I mean, that's a situation where a lot of people would have just said, okay, I quit, forget it. But these two men, at midnight, with their feet in the stocks, in the inner prison, at midnight, they start singing praises unto God and praying. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. That always happens in an earthquake, right? No. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. More faulty handcuffs. God doesn't care about the situation. God can solve these things. God is able. God is powerful. God is mighty. God is more powerful than any handcuff, any wall, any prison, any king. And we get, when we pray to him, he can do whatever he needs to do to bring it to pass, to bring what you want to pass. Jesus Christ said, ask God in my name, and he'll do it for you. We have the ability to pray to God Almighty. Well, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Because, that's what happened to the other guys that were watching Peter, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in deep trouble. And so they got killed with the sword anyway, so he was going to do it himself. He drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. How did Paul know in the dark, in the prison, where they just had an earthquake and all the doors opened up, to tell the prison keeper, don't do yourself any harm, we're all here. How would he know that? God had to tell him what was going on and what to say and what to do. Don't run out. Don't walk out. Don't take off like a shot. Doors are open. Boy, I'm out of there. But God said, stay. He stayed. God said, tell the guy not to hurt himself. Paul said, I don't see anybody, but I'll do it. Do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What a wonderful, humble man. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and unto all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. He was kind of happy about this. And believing in God with all his house. Isn't that terrific? I mean, they might not have met this man, except that they got thrown in jail and were in there singing, and God blows the doors open and makes their shackles fall out and opens the stocks up. And then the jailer comes in and winds up getting the word of God spoken to him. And he gets delivered. And it says here, he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. There, again, a situation where God turned a really bad situation into a situation that was wonderful. This man's whole house got delivered and received the word of God. Paul and Silas got out of the prison, and all because of the power of God, all because they walked with God. They walked by the Spirit, and they saw joy and rejoicing come out of it. They saw great deliverance. We get to do that. We get to pray. They saw prayers answered here too. I mean, they were praying at midnight while they were locked up in there, and they got delivered. So they saw a prayer answered right there and then. It's terrific. Look at Romans chapter 8. Close here. Romans 8. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does it?
Yeah.
Yes, you have the Spirit of God in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall do what? Die. Everybody does. Unless the Lord comes back. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If we have the Spirit of God and we manifest it, it bears witness with our spirit. We are the sons of God, and sons are heirs. And we're heirs together with Christ. It says here that anything that's going on now is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One day Christ is coming back, and we're going to get all new stuff. And, you know, all the things that happen that our enemy tries to do to us to get us to cop out on God's word and to stop praying, to give up, we don't do it. We continue to do what God wants us to do. And if we walk by the Spirit and we see these fruit in our lives, it makes it even a little bit of fun on the way too. Because as much evil as the enemy can throw at you, God can throw at you a lot more good fruit. And the love and the joy and the peace, like a river, keeps on flowing to you. And God will make sure that you are in those blessings. So, Earl, wouldn't you have a word of prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, again, we are just in awe of how much you love your people and care for your people. So many wonderful, miraculous things that you've done in the past for your believers in Old Testament times and during the life of Jesus Christ and now during his resurrected life in our day and time, just to see your deliverance, your power, your love, your grace, your mercy, and the joy that those things bring and brought to your people. And we see those things today also, that we can walk with you and enjoy that great fellowship with you and see the signs, miracles, and wonders in our lives as you again bear your arm for your people and bring deliverance. So this wonderful day, we thank you again for all that you've done and continue to do for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.